The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. It is page 321 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Amen. On past February 23rd, Oxford University held a public debate on the topic of the nature of human beings and the question of their ultimate origin in their auditorium. It was a debate about evolutionism and creationism. In the debate, Richard Dawkins, an evolutionary biologist and a professor at Oxford University, represented evolutionism, and Rowan Williams, the Archbishop of Canterbury, represented the creationism. On February 10th, the English High Court had ruled that to begin local council meetings with the Christian prayer, which had been customary, was illegal as a favored religion. When the ruling stirred up controversy, Oxford University convened a public debate. Reuters called this debate a heavyweight title fight between the atheist and those who believe in God. And people also called it the repeat of the debate, which took place in 1860, a year after the publication of Darwin's Origin of the Species, between Thomas Huxley, who was an evolutionist, and Samuel Wilberforce, who was a creationist. A part of their discussions, when summarized, went like this. Dawkins: if the universe existed from hundreds of millions of years ago, aren't the writers of the Bible wrong? Is it really necessary to interpret the Genesis to refit the 21st century? Archbishop: the writers of the Bibles were not inspired by the 21st century. They only recorded what God wanted to reveal. Dawkins: if evolutionism is correct, then human beings did not originate from a man, but from their predecessors. Darwin has given us the courage to get away from the incomprehensible idea that everything has been created from nothing. Why take a complicated view of the world because of this confusing concept called God? Archbishop: I do not believe that God is a being who needs to be defined in any particular form. I will call God a being in which love and mathematics, rationality, are united. God is a being who exists beyond the narrow framework of human beings. Many media outlets and people expected a heated debate during the discussions held that day, but it proceeded calmly throughout, and at times they even showed that they acknowledged the other's position. Professor Dawkins remarked that, I was singing hymns as I was taking a shower this morning, and that culturally I am an Anglican. And Archbishop Williams thank Dawkins for quoting his Christmas sermon in his book. The most difficult question that Professor Dawkins raised during the debate was, if God is a creator, why must bad things happen every day and men must suffer? To this, Archbishop Williams replied, it is a difficult question to answer, but we must also ask why God does not give even greater suffering. The scientific knowledge that I have is probably minuscule compared to the scientific knowledge that Professor Dawkins has. and Archbishop Williams have so much more theological knowledge when compared to me. But no matter how big the gap is between me and these two persons, could that difference be compared to the difference between God and man? For men to try to understand all of God is like trying to contain the ocean in a small bowl. The Professor Dawkins' question, if God is good, then why is there evil in the world and why must good men suffer? This question was not asked only by him, but many people throughout history. And so Asaph, who recorded Psalm 73, asked the same question. And Prophet Habakkuk cried out, "The wicked hem in the righteous, so the justice perverted." In theological vocabulary, this is called theodicy, or the understanding of the sovereignty of God. People who do not acknowledge that God governs the world often say that following about the fact that evil exists in the world. If God is someone who can stop evil but does not, He is not a God of love. And if He tries to stop evil, but can't, then He is not omnipotent. If someone asks, if God who is good exists in the world, why is there evil in the world and why do good people suffer? Deep in his heart, there is the assumption that I am good. But men essentially are definitely not good. If God, in order to get rid of evil in this world, punishes us each time something evil happens in the world, and instantaneously puts us to punishment each time we do something bad, what would happen to this world? Maybe all corners of this world may be overrun with blood. Most of all, none of us would be spared, and maybe no one would remain alive. Now, children cannot understand all of the thoughts and lives of their parents. They do not understand why the parents are so generous about how other people wear their clothes or hair or their actions, while they're so strict to their children and sometimes even spank them. Why they force children to eat meals that they hate to eat, why they say curfews, why they restrict the words that children can use, although they want to talk as they want, and why they're so reluctant to buy things when the children ask them. Parents seem to be full of things that children cannot understand, but as children grow up more and more and become more mature, they come to understand a lot about their parents. Now, when we become parents also, and as we raise our children, we come to deeply thank our parents who did what they did. Now, if this is what it's like for children to understand their parents, then how much more between the creatures and the Creator? How could finite beings be the same as the eternal being? Among the representative books written by Professor Dawkins, there is a book titled The God Delusion. In that book, he claims that faith is an illusion, and a man can be good and ethical without a God. He argues that, in fact, war, poverty, children abuse, and discrimination against homosexuals came from religion. And society can have hope only when religion and God disappear. Now I want to ask Professor Dawkins this question. Just what kind of people started the liberation of women, liberation of slaves, liberation of children, and social institutions that help the sick and the weak? As Professor Dawkins argues, people can think the human being is made God, or that God made men like Christians. That men make gods, but man cannot create a wonderful life for himself or a wonderful world based on his powers alone. It's something God has said long ago through Moses. Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 to 4 testify as follows. When the people saw that Moses was long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods, who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." At the time, Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai and stayed there for 40 days in order to receive the Ten Commandments. And during that time, the children of Israel became very insecure. So they proposed to Aaron, "Make us a God who will lead us." So Aaron collected gold earrings from people and made a form of a calf and said, "Israel, these are your gods who brought you up out of Egypt." Now, if you're going to lead human beings, you should be better than them in all aspects. But things made by men can never be better than men. Therefore, it can never be that a form of calf made by a man can lead human beings. We do not believe in God that we made, or believe that such God will lead us. But we believe that God made us, and believe that God leads us. And we also believe that the reason that we can be who we are and we can become like children of God are not the makings of our abilities, but that God shaped us to be that way. At one time, Apostle Paul was confident that he could make the best life for himself based on his willpower or efforts alone and could live a better life than others, and that he could gain the righteousness that will allow him to stand tall before God. He was a pure Jew who was circumcised on the eighth day of his birth, and not only him, but his parents and all of his ancestors were Jewish people. Moreover, he was a son of the tribe of Benjaminite, the proudest of Jewish tribes. And although he was born in southern Turkey at Tarsus, which was far away from Jerusalem, he did not forget Hebrew, the language of his people, and received Hebraic education. And because his passion for keeping the law could not be overtaken by other people, he lived almost a perfect life when measured in terms of the law. He thought that this was the walk, this was the way to walk the best life path. But on his way to Damascus, the resurrected Lord met him. He became blinded for 3 days, and only when the scales fell from his eyes after that, he was able to see what the best life really was. What was the way to cultivate himself in the right way? He testifies as follows in verse 7 and the first part of verse 8 of today's text as follows. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, Christ Jesus, my Lord. Apostle Paul thought that the law that he was holding on to was something that would allow him to live the most exemplary life. And there was no knowledge more worthy than that. However, after he met Jesus Christ, the light of the law, when compared to the light of Christ, seemed incomparable even to a lamp or a candle before the sunlight. And the difference between knowing the law and knowing Christ was greater than the difference between the knowledge of a child who has just learned the multiplication table at elementary school and the knowledge of mathematicians like Archimedes or Newton or Gauss. Paul continues to confess as follows, the later part of verse 8. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Like Salieri, who realizes how poor his music was upon encountering the music of Mozart in the movie Amadeus. The law is incomparably crude before Christ. To be discovered in Christ, to be found in Christ rather than in law, has value that cannot be surpassed. There is a person named Choi Yong-dal who composed a gospel titled Like the Sun During the Day and Like the Moon During the Night. And among the gospel songs he composed, there is a song called Confession. And this is a song that I used to sing a lot in college. The first and the third verses of the song goes like this. So many days were given to me, but now that I look back, there is only emptiness. Riches, wealth, there are power, none can give me happiness. I now come in regret and ask for your forgiveness. Please, Lord, forgive this poor person. Now that I look back on my life, on my knees before the Lord, only the endless tears fall to my knees. My poor neighbors, those who are in need, I saw them, but lived only to seek after what was mine. Please, Lord, forgive as I bow before you. Save, Lord, this soul that is bound to die. In the praise songbook, in which he drew the scores with his hands, the following story of how he came to compose the song is recorded. I was one of those hopeless kids. I hated my sister going to church so much. I found an envelope which said offering in the bookcase, and I began to hate her. The reason was that when she couldn't even buy me a new sneaker to replace the old one with holes, how dare she give money away? My theory of religion was that God and Jesus was no different than a stone idol at some shaman's house, a mere thing made by a human being. I hated my sister who went to church so much that one day, while arguing, I slept her, who was 4 years older than me, and left home. To me, God was just a useless illusion, and I was an absolute atheist. It was a blind rejection that did not have any particular value system or ideology. But when I was studying abroad, far away, after parting with my sister, I was introduced to the Lord who had been knocking at my heart from long ago from my friend, and so much tears flowed from me whether I wanted to or not. And last fall, in 1984, I went to Seongnam, Haenam, to look for my sister, who was now married. My sister cried uncontrollably as we sang a special song together at a small church there. My new life began this way, after I met Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul was a student of Gamaliel, who was known as the most outstanding scholar of his time. But by becoming a Christian, he went from being a bright scholar to someone who was treated as a fool. And people whom he spent his time with most of the time were mostly Gentiles or slaves. Furthermore, he had to make his own living by making tents with his own hands. The reason that Apostle Paul could accommodate such life was because to him the knowledge of knowing Christ was the most excellent knowledge, and there could be no better life than being found in Christ. I cannot forget a name card that a pastor gave me whom I met in college. On the front of the name card, there were his name and telephone numbers like any other name card, but at the back, the following were written in Korean and in English. If we meet and you forget me, you have lost nothing. But if you meet Jesus Christ and forget him, you have lost everything. If Apostle Paul had a name card, the back of his name card may have contained a similar writing. Apostle Paul's confession continues as follows in verse 9. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Now, this word righteousness, which you often run into in our faith life, is a very important word. The entire theme of Romans is righteousness. Chapter 3, verse 24 of Romans testifies as follows. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Unless we have a correct understanding of righteousness, it is not possible for us to understand the works of Jesus Christ related to salvation. St. Augustine, Reformer Martin Luther, John Wesley, who was the founder of Methodist, all experienced their lives changing completely because of these words. And so numerous Christians have put on the righteousness and have renewed their lives and recovered honesty and morality in their lives due to these words. Now, Apostle Paul says that this righteousness is not from the law. This means that it is not something that can be created by actions of men. Before, he tried to create righteousness through his efforts and willpower. So he was very confident that once he succeeded in perfecting his righteousness with his actions, he would be able to stand before God. And because of such thoughts, he could not accept Jesus, who said he came to perfect righteousness. And he was sure that those who followed Jesus were in the opposite camp to God. But after Jesus Christ met him, he realized how much of wrong thinking that he had been indulging in. And Paul understood that righteousness is the righteousness of God. In short, that righteousness is not created by man, but is given by God. Therefore, if he were to express a shortened verse 9 to a short phrase, it would be righteousness by faith. And it is possible to perfect this righteousness only within Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. It says that Jesus Christ has become our righteousness. In other words, this righteousness can only be perfected when we become one with Christ. Now, I cannot draw very well. And so, while I attended elementary, middle, and high school, the class I disliked the most was art. What I could not understand at all at the time was why art had to be 2 hours long when all the other classes were only 1 hour long. Sometimes I purposely didn't bring drawing materials because I didn't want to draw. It was better to be punished for forgetting rather than having a hard time trying to draw. I recall that most of my art class grades were C, because fortunately, since we took tests on theory as well as artwork, I was able to get a C. But if grades were given only on artwork, I would have gotten a D or even an F. Now, this happened when I was a fourth grader. During the two-hour art class, I finished all my drawings during the first hour and went out to the sports field during recess. The bell rang for the next class, but I didn't go in. And I burned papers with magnifying glass at a corner of the sports field, but teacher came to look after me, and I thought I would get into real trouble. But teacher said, "Hanjo must like science much better than art." I'm still grateful to that teacher. And this was how difficult it was for me to draw. When my kids asked me to draw a picture when they were young, most of the time I couldn't do it. But there was a time when I got an A for art. When I was a second-year middle school student, my class at one time did engraving. Now for me, who couldn't even draw, making an engraving by using a knife was far more difficult task. So during the 2 hours of the art class, I spent the first hour just sitting there because I had no idea what to engrave and how to do it. And there was a recess after the first hour. A friend came by and asked me how much progress I made during the first hour. I told him that I didn't do anything because I didn't know what to do. He asked whether it would be okay for him to work on it a bit. I said okay. During that 10-minute recess, he took my block and started to engrave something with a knife and returned to me with an image of a crane. It was a great work. To me, the crane looked so real that it would jump out of the engraving block and fly away. But then I started to get scared. The teacher knew very well what my drawing skills were like. And if he were to see the engraving work, I would be immediately found out as not having done it myself. So before the class was over, I turned in the engraving with a beating heart. The art teacher looked at it with a deep attention and said, "Even a sluggard has the talent to roll." And so I had no idea someone like you who can't draw would do such a great job at engraving. On that artwork, I got 49 out of 50 points. And at the end of that semester, I got an A for art. Now, this art teacher surely thought and knew that someone else did the engraving for me. But even so, he probably just let me have the credit. I still cannot draw. If I had to draw excellent artwork for salvation, then I could never ever arrive at salvation. The only way for me to make an outstanding drawing would be for an accomplished artist to hold on to my hands holding a pencil or paintbrush and make the picture with me. The only thing I can do is just to relax and entrust myself to what the artist is doing. It is then that a great drawing will be made with my hands, not because my hands are talented or outstanding, but because the hands that are holding onto mine are outstanding. This is righteousness by faith. And so Paul says, he's trying to be found in him. When we are found in the Lord, what is within the Lord comes to us. Only when we are in Christ, God says we are without sin and considers us to be persons who have kept all the laws. Even if we were to live 1,000 years, we cannot come to the perfection of law on our own. It is said that the people who lived before the time of Noah's flood lived to the average age of 800, but all of them were also sinners. It is only when we wear the clothes that is Jesus Christ that we at last become righteousness. Do you wish to be a right Christian? Do you wish to receive rewards by living a life of self-discipline when you stand before God? This is only possible when you are clothed with righteousness from God that comes through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, more and more human beings do not like to acknowledge you as God. Although they cannot live a perfect life with their abilities alone, they insist to the end that that is not the case. They discount you as someone who is confusing. They derogate your love and mercy as indifference. And at times try to measure your omnipotence with thinkings of a finite being. We thank you that even so, you exercise your sovereignty over the history of this world with your diligence and have led our lives with the greatest care. And as a result, we and the world are what it is today. Father God, we confess that there are many times that we try to do our best on our own without God. There are times that we sustain deep wounds while going forward without God. And there are times that we only return to you after having lost our path, have wandered and lost many things. But even so, we still want to show off our wisdom, willpower, and commitment. At this hour, we fix our attitudes once again and change our direction towards God. May we not forget that there is no surpassing worth than knowing Christ personally, that being found in Christ is the best life. And it's only through righteousness from God given to us through Jesus Christ can make us like God's children. And so may we all look at the world with the eyes of Jesus Christ and show with our lives as days go by that He is the only hope in this age which no longer believes that knowing Christ has no comparable worth and reveal through us that God's words are the truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.